Apart from any immediacy of Armageddon, wartime involvement in the Middle East had its own biblical dimension. More than any other European people, 19th and early 20th century Britons spoke of resettling Jews in the historic land of Israel. This inclination dated back to the 17th century rule of Oliver Cromwell, whose Puritan belief in Scripture led him to readmit Jews to England. They had been expelled in 1290, and to express hope for their eventual return to Judea. Two imperially minded 19th century prime ministers were also well disposed: Benjamin Disraeli, who promoted the idea in a book, and Viscount Palmerston, who thought a British client state in the Middle East would be geopolitically advantageous. By 1915, the subject came before the British War Cabinet, at this point unsuccessfully, where its principal supporter was Chancellor of the Exchequer David Lloyd George, a liberal whose poor Welsh constituency had been part of the great 1904 to 1907 revival. Moreover, as one historian has noted, he had been brought up by his uncle, who had been a preacher in a fundamentalist Welsh Baptist sect with a tradition of interpreting the Bible quite literally. As Prime Minister from 1916 to 1922, Lloyd George would be a key to British focus on the Middle East. The increasing familiarity of conflict with Islam was a further barometer of London's thinking. After the 1857 mutiny in India, as British occupation moved northwest toward the Khyber Pass, the foes were Muslim Khans and tribesmen. The great game itself was played in a Muslim arena: Afghanistan, Persia, India's northwest frontier province, and Russian Central Asia. So, too, for the military expeditions of Generals Kitchener and Gordon in Egypt and the Sudan, as well as the outposts of empire in northern Nigeria, Aden, Zanzibar, British Somaliland, and the Malayan Straits settlements. As the Ottoman Empire tottered, Muslim lands became the next arena of European imperial ambition. Britain's Armageddon rhetoric had a broader origin. In The Road to Armageddon, Cecil Eby summarized that increasingly, in England, Armageddon became a popular catchphrase referring to an apocalyptic war that would be fought at some time in the future. Thus, when war finally broke out with Germany in 1914, H.G. Wells's famous phrase, "the war that will end war," caught the public fancy because it appeared to fulfill St. John's prophecy of the war between the legions of God and Satan, conveniently defined as England and Germany, respectively. In later years, the war's extensions into the Middle East and reconquest of Jerusalem in 1917, proximate to the old Megiddo battlefield, added force. The poet Rupert Brooke had written in the early days, "Well, if Armageddon's on, I suppose one should be there." By the time Sir Edmund Allenby took Jerusalem in late 1917, an additional analogy was being superimposed. Major Vivian Gilbert's narrative, The Romance of the Last Crusade, with Allenby to Jerusalem, took its title from Allenby's supposed remark on entering the Holy City, "Now the Crusades have ended." On the other hand, when Allenby was advanced to the peerage, he became Viscount Allenby of Megiddo and Felixstowe. The Romance of the Crusades was alive and breathing strongly. As French and British imperialism moved into the lands of Islam during the 19th century, both nations turned out books with titles like The Cross and the Crescent, and art like Delacroix's painting The Entry of the Crusaders into Constantinople. When plans to carve up the Middle East took shape during the war, the French evoked the old Crusader kingdoms of the 12th and 13th centuries ruled by Frenchmen such as Godfrey de Bouillon. The British, having the legends of Richard the Lionheart but no actual Crusader kingdoms to evoke, more or less decided to put their chips on a Jewish Anglo-American client state within the same boundaries. In his memoirs, Lloyd George recalled being brought up in a school where I was taught far more about the history of the Jews than about the history of my own land. During the course of the war, he called Britain's role that of the Good Samaritan and enjoyed discussing the names and places in the Holy Land. He also provided critical support for a post-war Jewish homeland under British auspices and for the late 1917 British invasion of Palestine.